in the markets with Peter Cardillo, who is chief market economist at Spartan Capital, rejoining us here on Business for Breakfast from Italy, I think. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us today. So let me just ask you big picture. What do you think's going on in the market this week? I mean, are folks taking a wait and see attitude to what's going to happen in the next couple of days between Trump and Xi meeting about China trade?
That's exactly right. And it's not only Trump and Xi, it's also between the OPEC decision that will be coming out probably by the end of the week. And then, of course, we also have the last-minute window dressing as the quarter comes to a close. And so there are certainly a lot of uncertainties. And, of course, let's not forget that one of the reasons why the market acted the way it did yesterday was simply because of the new sanctions that were imposed on Iran. And Iran did respond by saying that yesterday's action basically canceled any hope of diplomacy, that is, diplomatic encounters and talks. And so that, you know, is a fact that weighs on the market. And in fact, you can see the market that is really responding to it in a very positive way is the price of gold. Gold was up sharply yesterday. It's up again today. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. And we've seen that more and more being reacted by the investor sentiment. As I said, obviously, gold basically amplifying that.
Well, let's talk then on the subject of Iran. One of the things that's been curious for me is that, okay, we've seen a rise in oil prices, $57.91 a barrel right now for WTI crude, up a penny this morning. Theoretically, with the rise in tensions and questions about what might happen in the Strait of Hormuz, which is a critical area for transportation of oil in the Middle East, and that is to a whole slew of countries around the globe. I mean, it's a very important area. Theoretically, shouldn't oil prices be a lot higher than they are right now already?
Indeed, you're right. They should be. But unfortunately, what the oil market is saying is that growth is going to slow and that we could be facing negative growth on a global scale. That's why the price of oil has not really responded with full force. By now, oil prices should have been trading close to $70-$75 a barrel, and we're not seeing that. And of course, you know, week after week, up until last week, we saw the increases continued right across the board, and of course, a lot of that may have been due to transportation, the problems in the Midwest, you know, with all the floods and whatnot. And so that's people are, traders are looking at that and reacting to those numbers, which they are artificial numbers. So, but the bottom line is the market is not reacting because of that fear factor of growth diminishing to levels that could eventually turn into a recession.
Sure, although on the other hand, Wall Street Journal reporting yesterday that U.S. crude exports are surging because of the strife going on in the Strait of Hormuz, oil buyers around the globe getting second thoughts about the Persian Gulf and therefore looking more to the United States. I mean, that is one of the great benefits, of course, of the U.S. in a lot of ways becoming energy independent as a net exporter of oil and gas gives the opportunity for the U.S. to help make up for some of the strife going on over in the Middle East.
That's well, yeah, that's you're right about that. But that's one more reason to think that the stockpiles that continue to climb are not telling you the true story about what's out there. Those oil stocks should have been depleted by now. And that just means that the demand factor is not as weak as the market seems to be projecting. And so I think, again, it's all about future growth, not so much the demand, the actual demand right now, but the future demand that probably could dwindle. And that's the reason why prices are not responding. But I will say this, if oil prices, if the Iranian situation should come to a escalated military intervention, and when I say military intervention, I mean that Iran is probably totally in control of the Straits of Oman and Hormuz. If they were to halt and they would put a naval blockade, oil prices would shoot up to $100 very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that they would stay at those levels for a long period of time, because obviously that situation, I don't think, would prevail for a sustained period of time. But it could create havoc in the markets, in the marketplace, and certainly send oil prices skyrocketing.
Again, Peter Cardillo is our guest, chief market economist at Spartan Capital. Okay, let's look out in the next couple of days on a different international issue, which is China trade. President Trump, Xi Jinping set to meet. Are you still optimistic that a cosmetic deal that will basically set things on the right course will take place, Peter?
Yes, I am. And if you notice, it's been a war of words back and forth, and that has not ended. So that tells me that both sides need to come to some sort of agreement. And, you know, just look at the behavior of the market in general. And you would think that if there was really that fear of a deal not being struck, again, you know, let's define what a deal would be. Are we going to get a concrete deal? No, absolutely not. And I don't think that's going to happen. Can we see an extension of talks? I think that's one of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Can we see some lenience on certain sectors that are being hit hard by tariffs? That's another situation. That doesn't mean that the trade war ends next week.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. I think we're nowhere near that stage of an agreement. But I think the markets would be satisfied just by having some sort of a willingness on both parts,
mm-hmm.
as it had been all along. Look, this is to a certain degree, let's call a spade a spade. It's a political issue. It's a political game that the United States and China are playing, with the exception that the president of China is not up for election. Mr. Trump is up for election.
Yeah, I would frame it this way, that Xi Jinping, for that exact reason, is playing a geopolitical game, while President Trump is primarily playing more for a domestic audience.
Absolutely.
And I tend to think that there are incentives for both sides to at least renew talking. I'm cautiously optimistic that at least that will happen. But the big question, Peter, of course, is how much longer this will drag out. Let's say that they decide, okay, we're not going to add on more tariffs on $300 billion worth of goods from the United from China into the United States. But instead, what we're going to do is engage in talks anew. But the question is, how long can that go before they actually have to reach a deal that can basically get rid of these, lift the tariffs, and say the tension's gone, at least for now?
Well, I think, sometime maybe by September, October, we're going to get a whiff of the damage that these tariffs are doing here domestically.
Mm-hmm.
When corporate America begins to report within the next 7 to 8 days.
Sure.
And so, you know, there are going to be many companies that directly have ties with China, and they're going to basically reveal the impact of these tariffs. And,
sure.
And of course, you know, another thing, the Americans are paying the price for these tariffs. And the one thing which I just sort of scratch my head about is, why aren't we seeing a pickup in transitory inflation?
Yes. I want to ask you about this. I want to ask you about this question relative to that, and then you continue to expand upon your thoughts on transitory inflation and just inflation in general. Stephen Moore is going to be back on this program on Thursday, and he's been arguing, of course, the former Fed appointee by President Trump, who decided to withdraw his own name from consideration. He's going to be back on Thursday, and he's been arguing since December that he's concerned about deflation happening, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that, which dovetails in with exactly what you're talking about, I would think.
Well, he's worried about any inflation happening. Well,
deflation, not inflation. He's worried about deflation.
Oh, deflation. Yeah, well, yeah, okay. So he's worried about any inflation happening, which would obviously be deflation. You know, if you go to the grocery store, there's certainly inflation. You're not paying it in fuel prices. No, I agree to that. You're not paying it in luxury items just yet. But certainly, there is hidden inflation. I think the reason that we're not seeing this inflation show up, especially in the in the labor market, that is wage inflation, is simply because of the fact that companies just have rerouted their investments, and the job market offers are plentiful, and there are people out there that are switching. So it isn't where you have a huge shortage of laborers that would force up wages and certainly reignite inflation in general. So you don't have that right now, and that's because of the fact that for the past 20 years, corporate America has basically found a way to satisfy employees without raising their stipends.
Yeah, other compensation components have certainly been rising in recent years. But just real quickly, so you do think that at some point inflation will kick in?
I think at some point it will. But again, you know, define inflation. If you want to take away core inflation, okay, then I'll probably be wrong. But if in reality, if you go and buy groceries, inflation is continuous. I mean, prices have gone through the roof for many items.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's transitory inflation.
Sure.
But they really don't come down at the cash register. I mean, they stay pretty much elevated. And so I think that's the problem.
Yes.
Define real inflation.
I want to ask you one final question, Peter Cardillo, Spartan Capital, and that is the Fed. Last week, they decided not to do anything with interest rates, but they got rid of the word patient and have given indications that maybe there will be a reduction in the federal funds rate coming up next month. What do you make of Fed policy? What are your expectations?
I think they will probably lower them, not in July. I'm still holding off for September, December, and I think the reason is twofold. One, they're not going to bow down to Trump, who has been basically wanting a rate cut That's the first thing. So it becomes a political war between the Fed and the administration. And the second thing is they want to see what happens with this trade war. And, of course, what happens with the agricultural sector that has been decimated due to bad weather, mm-hmm. besides the trade war. So I think those are the reasons why the Fed is not likely to lower rates in July. I think they will, but I think they'll hold out to either September or December.
Very interesting. Well, Peter Cardillo.
Of course, if you look at what's happening in the in the bond market, you know, you have the 10-year moving around 2%. That suggests a rate cut, but I still think that that's not going to happen anytime soon.
All right, Peter Cardillo with Spartan Capital, chief market economist there. Always great to check in with you, sir. Thanks for joining us, and safe travels.
My pleasure.